Amen. Dear friends, it has pretty close to a 90-degree ascent into the air. At another portion, it has about a 90-degree descent down. Riders go down about 170 feet. At other moments, riders are taken from 0 miles per hour all the way to 70 miles per hour. It all lasts about 60 to 70 seconds. Do any of you know what I'm talking about this morning? A roller coaster. Yeah. And I'm talking about the last roller coaster that I was on. It's been a few years. I'm kind of scared of this kind of stuff. My stomach turns. But the last roller coaster that I was on was Rip Rocket Ride. Anyone been on that one? Universal Studios in Orlando, Florida. I know Alicia's been on it. Anybody else been on Rip Rocket Ride? It's fairly new. A new experience. And there's two feelings I've had when I, two amazing feelings inside of me that I can't compare it to any other experience in life that happens when I'm on a roller coaster. The first is this. For a time period, I think I would give anything to get off that ride. It's the worst feeling imaginable. And on this particular ride, Rip Rocket Ride, you take the roller coaster and there's a section of it that proves it's just scary and you just want off. They take a picture of your face when you're least expecting it. And the expression on my face, I've actually never seen it like that before. It absolutely freaked out. And then the second part of that ride that I realized this, I just got to get off the ride, is when you're flipped upside down and you look down and you see a net. It's the net that scares me, not being flipped up. Why is that net there? I asked the question. They said, well, it's for all the wallets and personal belongings. They said it's not for people that fall. They assured me of that. But that feeling is there in your stomach. Man, I can't wait to get off this ride. But then the ride is done. And you see a whole different feeling sets in, completely different. Now, science could probably prove this in some way. It's the exact opposite feeling. You go from, just get me off this thing, I'll do anything, to, I've got to try it again. That was awesome. 3 hours later, this happened to me, 3 hours later, I skipped lunch completely. And realized that I had not gone on any of the other rides in the theme park. That's what happens when you're on a roller coaster and you have a really good time. It's dizzying, and it pretty much takes you away from reality to another existence, to another place. I like to think that actually life could be compared to a roller coaster, couldn't it? And I think Satan would like us to think of life as a roller coaster. When you think of it that way, there are times in life where we're very quiet, we're not really moving, we're hoping things would get going, and we're waiting for something to come our way. It's like sitting there waiting for the next twist or turn on a roller coaster. There's that. Then there's those moments in time in our lives in which we're going faster than we ever could have imagined. The holidays come, trips are coming up, there's doctor's visits, these sorts of things just rack on up. There's so much going. Life happens so quickly. Satan sees it. The slow, the fast, gives him an opportunity to throw out a temptation or two. It's hard to really focus when you're on a roller coaster, the roller coaster ride of life. Roller coasters go up and down, and that's the way life is, isn't it? At times we're ascending, and it's like everything is just going awesome. The Beavers are going to make it to the final four, and no one's going to beat them. It's going to be awesome, and we're planning the celebration and how that's going to go. But then they lose to the University of Washington. Did that really happen? I think it did. Or what happens in our lives, something not so good, a health concern comes, or a dear friend passes. You see, the up and down of life, it's a roller coaster. Satan knows that. In the midst of the up and down, throws out a few temptations. One over here, one over there. And you see, before you know it, life passes by. And there isn't any time to refocus or really think about what's going on in our life, or a time to even breathe and see the bigger picture. And all of a sudden, what's happened? This is my theology here. What happens is all the good, all the bad, all the ups and the downs are mixed in with the temptations that have been thrown our way. And all of a sudden, we're along for the ride, and there's nothing we can do. We're dizzy. We're spinning. Our life has been completely taken away, and off we go, and Satan has done his little work. How do we deal with temptation? Well, one thing to deal with temptation is to realize, is the person who's offering the temptation, does he really have the authority of the allures that are being offered our way? Think about that. With the temptation, have you ever had someone give you a deal and then you found out later they never had the authority to offer you that deal? That's a terrible feeling, and it makes you mad. Happened to us a couple years ago when we were looking for cars. We were walking around the parking lot with a sales associate. We thought we were onto something good. We found a car. It was the right car to get for us. We studied. My wife goes through all these details, and she knows exactly what she wants. Makes it easy. And there we were in the parking lot. It was the right price. It had all the amenities that we wanted. And the sales associate said it with such gusto, said the price and said the deal, and we were sold. And then he said these little words. Just wait a second. I got to go back into the office and talk with the head honcho, the sales manager, to see if that's the way it can be. So as he walks away, we're thinking, man, this is great, and we're plotting. Well, the girls can sit over here, and boy, we could take a trip this summer. Oh, this will be great. And out walks the sales associate, and he says this, "I'm sorry I spoke too soon. The sales manager won't allow that to go. It's already taken for somebody else. But over here on the fourth row, there's a car that's a couple years older. It's got a few more miles on it. I'll give you the same price." This happens all the time. Have you ever had someone, again, have you ever had someone give you a deal and then later you found out they had no authority to do that? That's Satan in our text, Luke chapter 4. Satan takes Jesus up in a high place. It's the second temptation in Luke's account. And above all these things, they look down and they look at the kingdoms down below. And Satan, did you catch the words that he said? He said, "Look down below, all the kingdoms and all the glory. It has been delivered over to me, and I will give it to whom I desire," Satan says, "if you'll just bow down and worship me." You know what Jesus was thinking at that moment? Contemporary 21st century? Really? You can really offer all the authority and glory in the world? Really? And then Jesus says this, "Worship the Lord God only," or "serve the Lord only and worship him only." I got that backwards. "Worship him only and serve the Lord God only." Jesus was saying this to Satan, "You have no authority to offer those things. You're a phony. You're tempted. I'm tempted." So many different ways. There's the temptation of gossiping about someone. And the allure behind that is if you just get it off your chest and tell someone, then you'll feel better about your situation. But you see, the person who's placed that thought into your mind, Satan, has no authority to make you feel better. He's got no authority to do that. We think about all sorts of things, and the temptations come our way. There's the temptation to cheat in some way or steal from someone. If I just have that object that my neighbor has, he'll never know, and I'll feel complete and content, and everything will be just right. You know, the person who set that thought into your mind, he has no authority to make you feel good, no authority to make you feel content in life. Youth. There may be the temptation to take drugs of some kind. There's a lot of drugs in our community, actually. Remember this. The temptation that's there is that you'll feel better and that you can escape from the struggles in life. Friends, the person that's placed that thought into your head is a liar. And he has no authority to make your life better. None. What we need to do is really look for the head honcho who actually can give the deal, who actually has power to do these things that we want so much in life. You know, Jesus lived a roller coaster kind of life. If you compare his life to anyone else, man, it's a roller coaster ride. It's a lot of excitement going on. Think about the exhilarating things that Jesus did and then the dangers that he was thrown into. One gospel text says that Jesus healed a lame man and he started dancing. It sounds like a party or something. And the next few minutes, guess what happened? People dragged him by the collar, took him to the edge of the cliff, and wanted to throw him over the edge. That's in the Gospels. How about the last week of Jesus? The cheers of going into Jerusalem, how awesome that was. And then that turned quickly to jeers, being arrested, and a bogus trial came his way. Jesus moved quickly from the upper room down to the Garden of Gethsemane. He sweat, he bled beads of sweat. They came out of him. Then he was taken to the cross. Then he was taken down to the tomb, and he resurrected. This happened in just a snap. What a roller coaster ride. And in today's text, right before this, Jesus was baptized, and the Father said, "This is my Son, listen to him." Then he's taken to the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. What an amazing roller coaster. And you know what? Jesus never got caught up in the lies. As Jesus went around, did you hear what the text said? Satan looked for a more opportune time. Never did Jesus succumb to the temptations of Satan. Jesus looked for the head honcho, the one who had all the authority and power and glory to give, his heavenly Father. How do we overcome temptation? Do you have temptation? You can't. What a downer. Pastor said this morning, you can't overcome temptation. You can't by yourself. But there's something that you can do. Again, we look to the head honcho, the master. You know, there's an old-time story about a man who wanted to train his dog. The dog kept eating the food on the kitchen table. Does anyone have a dog that eats off the kitchen table? I don't. Joyce, I'm sorry if I'm... Okay. Well, this guy didn't like this. And so he wanted to train his dog to stop eating the food on the kitchen table. So this was his plan. His plan was to prepare a plate and go directly into the dog's face and say, "No, don't do it." So he did it. And the dog licked his lips, looked at the food, and gobbled it down. The owner thought again, how am I going to fix this temptation issue of the dog? And so he did the same thing. He made a plate of food, and he said it even harsher. "No, don't eat the food." The dog licked his lips even more and ate the plate on the kitchen table. Finally, the owner gave up altogether, but something extraordinary happened a couple weeks later. You see, the dog all of a sudden stopped eating the food on the table. How did it happen? The owner found out that the dog stopped looking at the food and started fixing his eyes to the master when the food was set out. That was the key. The dog stopped eating the food on the table. See, life is like a roller coaster, up and down, twists and turns. We think that we can handle it all by ourselves. We think that we can fix all the problems. We think that we can just ignore the temptations. But the best thing that we can do is to look to our master. He gives us the power and the strength. He's the head honcho with the power and authority. I didn't say it in this text, but check this out. Mark chapter 1. The temptation text in Mark's gospel says this. When Jesus was sent out to the wilderness, the wild beasts, look this up, the wild beasts and the holy angels attended Jesus. It's a little saying there to let us know Satan's not the head honcho. Jesus is the head honcho. Let's look to him in all the moments of temptation. Amen. We continue our worship this morning with the saying of the creed as it is projected before us this morning.